Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, what a time to be alive. And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things each week that make you say the thing that's the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden. Hello.
Hi. This welcome. Is our first no guest in a while. We've had a lot is of it? Company lately.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody. You're stuck with just us once
stuck
again.
Stuck with us.
That one feels even more hurtful than the Seinfeld one. My God.
At this point,
I feel like I like the rim shot. I feel like it's encouraging.
Yeah.
The rim shot.
The Seinfeld one seems mean to me.
The Seinfeld one is definitely, it's mean because it's longer, but the rim shot, I picture that that like exasperated claymation monkey from whatever Wallace and Gromit studio movie that
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
The
GIF. Whatever Aardman animations, the classic. Yeah.
Joe!
Getting a full what up, y'all? Soundscape. Not much. Patty's debuting the horseshoe crab merch.
Oh yeah, classic.
Just flip you guys em. Can't see.
What
it.
Does it say on it?
Just flip them.
Just flip them, and just it has a beautiful embroidered horseshoe crab stop motion animation of it being flipped. Yep. It's like
well, that would be a terrible
frames.
Stop motion. You got to have more than 3 frames. That's pretty low budget stuff. You know,
that's what they taught you in art school, right?
That yeah, was three
the,
frames.
The main lesson, three uh-huh. frames, not enough.
Mm-hmm. Highly recommend the hat. It's a Nike, one of those, what is it, dry fit or whatever. So it's just like a solid, it's a solid hat, you know?
Doesn't, didn't like some of the money go to horseshoe crabs too?
Yeah, no,
it's
a horseshoe crab owned business is what
they put a 20 on the ground and let them roll over it.
You can find it, straight to them. You can find it on horseshoecrab.org. It's a, it's like a, yeah, I believe it goes to, you know, like education and, you know, just the ERD. Education for horseshoe crabs.
You're gonna teach them to read.
Oh god,
big move.
Yeah. It actually goes to you flip them and then throw them on the grill. That's actually what it says here.
Oh, yeah.
So that's actually not good.
You gotta make sure they're well done.
But it's
one of those shirts. I'm a horseshoe crab and I need to be flipped. And I was born in July. Yeah,
but you know, I believe money goes to the Ecological Research and Development Group. That's ERDG, and it's a. It's for conservation and stuff, and it's also basically specifically for the horseshoe crab because, as we said previously, they are very important. So
yeah, they got the magic blood. They got potion in their veins.
That's right.
You got to keep them alive.
Potion cider, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's good. Like, you can recommend a hat to the listeners, but it's funny to, like, recommend a hat. It's sounding like you're recommending it to us, where it's like, well, we can't buy it because we know and see you, so we can't be wearing the same hat.
Right,
right. Yeah, Eli can't buy the hat because, yeah, there's, on the off chance we both are wearing the hat in some setting, that is devastating.
Yeah,
to
have especially to that people are just going to be like, are you like marine biologists? Are you here?
Do you guys work together? Like, what's happening?
Yeah,
here?
Is this like Fleet Week for scientists? What are you doing? Why are you here?
The most disappointing Fleet Week of all time. Scientist Fleet Week.
Yeah, hello,
it's all the marine biologists.
All the girls waiting for the crew from the Voyage of the Mimi. Yeah. Can I buy you a shot?
We're back from studying the depths, ladies. Not innuendo, you perverts. Regular depths.
The depths of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary.
I mean,
down
the
there.
Scientists are trying to make it innuendo, but it's not landing. It's not working.
That's correct.
Yeah, just I think more scientists should introduce saying Glavin like Professor Frink. I think that's good. Glavin?
Joe!
Yeah. I gotta say, I think it was interesting that you were like, Eli can't buy the hat, as if like I can buy the hat. Like I have permission to buy
it. Well, I'm just, but I'm much, I've never seen you wear a hat in your life. I wear hats
well,
all
the
time.
Well, that's, I, every
that's why
couple
I went
years,
there.
Every couple years, I think I should be a baseball hat person. Like, I think about it because I like them. I think they look cute and I feel like they would go with the clothes I wear. But every time I try, I buy one every couple years. I wear it once and I'm like, no, this isn't me. This head covering is not my style.
Yeah. Well, demonstrably, as you know, you as an essence, we don't think you're a hat person, which is why
but I
you
just want to be. I want to be. They don't even look bad on me. Like hats look pretty good on me, but I'm just like.
Eli needs the hat way more, if you know what I mean.
Aww. I do know what you mean. It's that I'm bald on top.
Well, it's, I mean, it is a thing of like, I don't want to wear a hat because it'll mess up my hair. Not a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Where your, Patty your can head do this is more shit. Efficient for hats. That's what it is.
Patty, you should have kept, I don't know if you still have the length for it, but you should do the thing where you have like the hat and then the man bun poking out where you cinch
oh,
it up.
Oh, yeah, that's a great look. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, that's like that. What I envision when I think about me wearing a hat. And yeah. It never works out. It's never what I dream it to be, you know?
Yeah. I wish there was like, they should make versions of like classic baseball caps. Like, you know, I love a good old, just like the actual MLB teams, but they should make one that like on the back of it has embroidery that's like, I don't watch baseball. Don't, I just like a hat with a bird on it. Please, I'm sorry. I don't know anything about the Orioles and their season. Please leave me alone.
I will not understand any reference you make.
Yeah.
I have a friend who he wears only like very obscure minor league baseball hats because he doesn't like baseball and he doesn't want people to talk to him about baseball, but he likes wearing hats.
Yeah.
Which is a good strategy until you meet the one fan of that team. Because yeah. Then they're like, finally, someone to talk to about
the Bowie, you know. Bay Sox. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And they're very disappointed. And also confused, I think. But yeah, if you wear like a Yankees cap and you don't care about baseball, someone's going to talk to you, you know?
Yeah. I feel like at this point, a Yankees cap, like, I just don't want to wear them because they're like too, you know, if you're not a Yankees, I just feel they're like, you know, it's been completely taken over. But
especially here.
It's very unfashionable to wear a Yankees cap here. I feel like the Mets are much more, they're like the team that,
yeah,
you're supposed to like.
I wouldn't say unfashionable. I mean, it's like it's just everywhere. But it would be funny to me to like the idea baseball. Of walking up to someone in Manhattan wearing a Yankees cap, being like, "How about those Yanks?" Like, they'd be like, "What the fuck, man? This hasn't been like Jay-Z removed. It's a Jay-Z hat. That's what it is to me. Like, it is more connected to Jay-Z than it is to the players of the Yankees."
I feel like it's like a. Bronx/Puerto Rican/Dominican pride symbol more than it is like a baseball team.
Yeah. Well,
that's what I thought New York would be like before I moved here.
People just asking you about them Yanks all the time.
How about those Knickerbockers and the Yanks?
To be fair, that is what Boston is like with Red Sox hats. Like, that is literally what it's like.
Yeah. Well, I think like most other places, like if you're in the city and you're wearing the hat with the thing on it, people are like, oh yeah, you know, good season, bad season, whatever, you know, they alternate. But
this is why I had to move out of Texas, because I worked at the University of Texas and I didn't watch football, and
hook 'em.
It made everyone around me impossible to talk to. Like, just a wall was up. I could not make any friends at work because I did not watch the football.
Yeah.
Had to go.
I would have gone. I mean, if I worked like there and at the university, did you get to like? Could you go to the games? Because those are just fun. Bunch of people drunk watch some college football.
I mean, we probably would have gotten some kind of discount, but yeah. The stadium is so big and like it's like in the middle of town, so it would more just like it was so annoying if you weren't going to the game that I never wanted to go. You know what I mean? Because, like, I viewed game day as, like, an obstacle that I had to maneuver around.
Yeah. I think it's fun that it's, like they have, for, like, what I feel like the same thing. It's, like, yeah, like, a lot of, like, man, you know, when I think of, like, University of Texas, like, it's, like, oh, yeah, hook 'em and all that. But then their colors are, like, this creamsicle orange, which is such a strange color. That,
it's
like,
the color
you see all
the
these
cow.
Dudes, like, yeah, oh, orange?
Bevo.
Cows,
yeah, he's like a rust-colored Texas Longhorn. It's like a white and
guy.
Orange.
Well, I think
it's not a guy. It's a cow.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm using guy in a, you know, in a figurative sense.
I just thought you thought Bevo was a man. And I was like, no, Bevo is
a
huge cow.
But also, I feel like they probably got Bevo to match the color more than taking a Pantone chip to the cow side and being like,
I don't
perfect.
Think so. I feel like it's cow-based. Listeners,
how old is this fucking cow?
He's in a line of Bevos. There have been like many Bevos.
Settle down,
Bevos. I was
Bevos.
Actually reading about the Bevos the other day, and the funniest thing about it to me is there's like a team of people, of college students, I think they're the Silver Spurs, although that might be the alum organization. Anyway, it's like a team of like six guys, and you have to be like, you have to have like leadership credentials, but your only job is that you lead Bevo around, and you like Bevo into the truck and drive him to games. Mm-hmm. But you have to be, but like all, everyone who's done it is like a congressman now. It's very strange.
Yeah, I did an article at one point about like college football teams that still have live animal mascots, and yeah, they like they paint it as like a real resume booster, which I'm like, how do you pivot? Yeah. If you're anywhere outside of the immediate area of that college, how do you pivot into bringing Bevo into your interview? Where you're like, well, I let Bevo around, so you know, yeah. I'm good at taking control.
It's apparently the original mascot of Texas was not Bebo, it was a pit bull named Pig. That is according to Wikipedia, the history section.
Very confusing to have your mascot be one animal named after another animal, you know? Mm. Kind of the circus peanuts of
Pig.
Mascots.
Yeah, Pig.
Well, you know, presumably your team is still named the Longhorns, you know, or nicknamed the Longhorns.
Also then confusing.
Yeah. It's like, we're the Longhorns, and this is our pit bull named Pig. And I was like, what is going on with you guys?
There's an epitaph on, I guess, a marker that they put down for Pig. I don't know if it's still there or not, but his epitaph says, Pig's dead, dog gone.
Bye-bye.
Little Leslie Nielsen, little Leslie Nielsen style riff there. Let her rip, huh? That's what we're, yeah.
Yeah, I think Pig would like it if they could read and, you know, weren't buried under it. Like they'd enjoy that. Yeah. See. No, there's very, I highly recommend, there's, I think it's Arkansas has like live boars as their mascot. And when I was looking up,
just
they had
let them loose on the field. Let them eat all
pretty
the grass.
Much. Send them run around. But they had, it's also like generational. So there's like this bloodline, you know, there's like this royal bloodline of boars and they're all named Tusk. And then the, you know, the suffix, but the latest one is like a baby and it's fucking adorable. Oh. It was like Tusk 4 and it's just like a tiny little pig. I was like, how do you even start the game after you bring that little guy out on the field? Come on. We're not playing anymore. Everyone wants to touch the pig. Everyone wants to pet him.
We're going to pass the pig around the stadium.
We gotta feed this guy carrots for about an hour before, and tell the players to sit in the back, stay in the locker room. We're feeding this adorable little pig. But
I like don't care about football at all. Do not have never really. We talked about my brief foray into sports gambling around the Super Bowl. That is the most I've ever cared about football.
Yeah.
But another like internet wormhole I go down a lot is watching YouTube videos of HBCU marching bands in like the halftime and stuff. Love that. Love those dancing drum majors. They're rad.
Yeah. So
just have that be the whole game.
Have you seen the movie Drumline?
Absolutely.
You might enjoy
it. I love Drumline. Drumline rocks. That movie's great.
Yeah. Inextricably linked to the DC Sniper for me, but you know, still a good movie.
How come?
We've almost certainly talked about this. Yeah, we've talked about it.
No, there are constantly new avenues about the DC Sniper that have not been.
But this is the thing is that we had indoor recess because there was a sniper active and we watched Drumline a bunch of times.
Oh, at recess? I see. I think I might probably watch Drumline in school too. We definitely watched Remember the Titans a lot.
Oh, like, yeah.
Multiple times a year. They're just like, we don't have anything to do today. Wheel in that TV and put on Remember the Titans again.
Worth watching, honestly. Could be worse.
Good. Good movie.
Also, I was hoping that you're like, Cass was going to be like, I'm not a fan of football, but what I do like to watch on YouTube are football's most bone-crushing hits. just people getting absolutely...
pancaked.
Yeah. Just watching CTE manifest.
Stone-faced... dark room, monitor glow on my face, pulling up my accidents playlist. That's how I unwind.
Yeah, that adds a new twist on a fails video if you just start naming them accidents. Epic accidents. Horrific.
Yeah, there was a show in Austin. It was a pretty good show, but when people were like getting seated, they would always play fail videos like on the screen. Like they had a big projector and they would play fail videos as people were getting seated.
Chive TV.
And
Was it Chive TV?
I don't know if it was Chive TV. I think they were just like YouTube compilations, but it always seemed like a mistake to me because I feel like people were disappointed when the comedy started.
Yeah, I wouldn't like, want to compete with that.
They just wanted to watch more fail videos in a big group and like laugh at them. And,
yeah, it's, I don't want that at all. I'm like, you know, there's certain things
I can't,
you can't
follow someone getting hit in the nuts with jokes. Yeah. No one wants that.
You got to get hit in the nuts, and right. I don't want to do that. I can't be.
No thanks.
Yeah. That would be a good show. That would be a gimmick show that I would enjoy. Is just some point during everyone's set, they get hit in the nuts.
Someone is going to do that, and it's going to get written about in the fucking New York Times because people don't care about stand-up. So don't speak this into being.
Joe!
No,
these comedians are bearing their souls and their bodies on stage. Et cetera, et cetera.
Let's combine it. You're naked and then you get
naked and
the
then
nuts.
You get hit in the nuts. Yeah, that's
that makes it, I think, less funny. You know, you don't want to be able to see. You need the clothing to kind
see
of
the
mask
nut damage.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they figured that out in the new Jackass movie where we're just like, maybe you guys go back to the standard definition cameras for these pranks. Maybe not.
No way.
The,
I want the 50-foot version of Chris Pontius's dick. That's
yeah, you
what I want.
See up Steve-O's asshole. That's what it was. See that desolate.
Yeah,
wasteland.
I don't know if Jackass would have worked in the age of 4K. It might have been like if it wasn't grandfathered in, it might be too much for people. Kind of meant to live on VHS tapes. Where things are.
Yeah,
things
it's
are
the
blurry.
Aesthetic there.
Yeah. See. Should we do our numbers?
Let's do it.
Number 5.
Number 5, this story comes to us from these are becoming just difficult to read. Vanderstoff Pump Zoo. My goodness. This is a story. I think this is...
Do you guys hear the plane taking off outside my apartment right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know what's
happening. I didn't know what that was. It sounded like someone using a metal brush on a timpani drum, but that seemed highly unlikely. but it wasn't.
I don't know. There's someone in my building who seems to practice the tuba a lot. So like there are weird sounds going on in here. But yeah, that one was definitely a plane.
Cass' apartment is in one of those airport hotels. That's where Cass
lives. Well, I know where you
That's
live.
That's where
you
I go to watch my
area.
Accident videos is the airport hotel.
Yeah, I think the problem is that the explanation didn't explain anything for me because I know where you live and you don't live near an airport. And you're like, that was a plane
taking
off.
I do not live near
an
airport.
And I was like, well, from where? From the street outside? Like a little Cessna? What's happening?
Yeah, I really don't know. I don't know why that sounded like that. Maybe the Blue Angels are practicing.
Hey, it's probably fine. Hey, it's New York. You're going to have planes. And it's like, wait, no, you're not. No.
No, kind of
the opposite. It's very bad when you hear planes. Kind of triggering a pretty terrible sense memory for
very
many
specific.
Residents of the city.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we're okay.
The one thing we can never forget about.
What if we were recording a podcast while a nuke was dropped next to my apartment? That would be... If you guys lived through it, you'd be getting a lot of money from that. Anyway, tell us our story.
This story is about a nuke that just got dropped next to Kat's apartment.
What?
No, this isn't some...
That's what it sounds like.
That's an interesting nuke.
That's directly from Oppenheimer. That's actually when the bomb goes off.
Yeah.
They're doing... The plane taking off was actually viral promotion for Oppenheimer. Yeah. That's what's happening.
The big scene in Oppenheimer where they drop the nuke and Oppenheimer go, oopsies, sorry. Or, I don't know.
It's that like tom-tom that sounds like somebody... It's like the Scooby-Doo run where their legs just go in a wheel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I know we have that on the soundboard somewhere. I've heard it before. But this story, I think this is, you know, relatable. Who hasn't, you know, had a little late night case of the munchies? You want to get some street meat, some sort of food. But what is less advisable is to just break into a restaurant to try to make your own drunk food, which is what this woman did. She broke into a store.
Doesn't that sound like the dream, though? Like, I know, yes, that isn't what you're supposed to do. But
yeah.
Man, it sounds like it would be very fun.
If you were like a trained chef and you did that, that would be so sick. You're just like, I'm not rushing to get orders out. I'm just,
I get to use like the really powerful gas stove, like the fucking blowtorch on my on my cast iron or whatever. I would have a ball. I would have a ball in there.
And I think it's very, very attainable if you're a professional chef, because all you have to do is just stay in the restaurant after it closes and get drunk.
Yeah.
And
then, I think like, they do it quite a bit. I think that's like a big part of being a chef.
Yeah.
No, I'm having a hard time imagining it. That's why I suggested it. Can you imagine if you were a chef in a restaurant kitchen?
And you got drunk?
You got to cook what you wanted? Yeah.
You guys have seen Big Night, right?
Yes.
Big Night?
Oh, it's the best. You got it. It's like one of the best food movies. It's Stanley Tucci and Tony Shalhoub and their brothers, and they run an Italian restaurant. It's very good. Anyway.
Yeah.
This lady. Yeah.
So this lady.
She was doing a Big Night.
Yeah. She. This is 1:55 a.m., which is, you know, you read a story, it says, woman accused of breaking into restaurant to make salad, ruining $500 worth of food items. And you know when you open it up, you're like, this is going to be around about the 2 to 4
a.m. Get her out! Get her out!
Area, I would imagine. Also, just, I think, much harder to break into a restaurant and make food while everyone's still there. Like, is it the chef is, you know, it can be like, move over! But she broke into the Harvest Moon Cafe. Great N64 game, unrelated.
She thought it was a virtual reality thing. That's why she went in.
Yeah, she's going to raise round little cows and have a cool backwards hat on. So, yeah, it was 1:55 a.m. She broke in. This is 20. I guess they can do this, but this feels like a crime where it's like, don't put their full legal name in this. Just let it ride. Like, it's
too relatable a crime to dock someone for.
Yeah, yeah. It's in here. They like they say, somehow got inside the restaurant after it had been closed. It was like, yeah, you know.
Last name does look like something Tweety Bird would say, though. That's what we'll give you on the name.
Yeah, sounds like how Tweety Bird would describe what she made.
Susan Pussycat.
Tweety Bird has been receiving death threats. That's the
there's no
The Sylvester fandom has been sending Tweety death threats. This needs to stop.
Yeah.
This needs to stop.
Yeah. That feels like a natural extension of like angry alt-right dudes who are just like big Sylvester guys who are like, oh, Tweety's such a fucking bitch. God.
Tweety is a representation of modern masculinity.
Just get
and
eaten.
How far we have fallen. Just get eaten.
Quit being such a tease.
Is Sylvester a cuck? My Reddit thread discussing.
Hard times make hard men, strong men. Strong men make easy times. Easy times make weak men. Right? Isn't that the this?
Yep.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Hard times make Sylvesters.
But that's about Sylvester and Tweety. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Pop that over the image of like a badly painted lion. Throw that on Instagram. Ready to go. Hustle culture, baby. So she got into the restaurant. And then this is the craziest thing of this entire story is that they made a salad. Like,
yeah, interesting drunk food choice. I'm imagining it's like one of those salads that's like 50% meat, right?
Yeah, where you pay like the $25 salad that's just like you're just slamming the Cajun chicken button over and over. It's like extra.
It's
extra.
Like an Italian sub, but without bread.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
It's just like all the cold cuts.
Yeah.
Personally, I find that to be the nastiest salad. Like, I'd rather eat an all vegetable salad than one of those. But
yeah, that's like a Subway
bowl. I feel like
people
like them.
So she got in there. And then another thing here is like, this kind of starts to suggest, the way that they're writing about this kind of suggests to me that they maybe forgot to lock up the restaurant. In which case, I think that's on them. And she got in there. She made some food. It was basically a community kitchen. If you don't lock it up, don't charge her. But yeah, so she made a salad. It wasn't the joke is like a $500 salad. It's more that, as they say, she touched several food items with her bare hands, rendering those ingredients, and I quote, no good. So
maybe she wasn't in there to make a salad. She was just like, I'm kind of drunk, and when I'm drunk, I like to touch the food.
Yeah. Like to touch cobbed corn. Just get in. Just really get in there.
Yeah,
get my hands into those like industrial plastic things where they put all the prepped vegetables. That's
I would love to do that. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I want.
Let me say $500 salad. What is this? Sweet green in Midtown? Thank you.
Good luck. Oh. We got it. Got them. Yeah. So I guess she just kind of ran her hands over everything.
she did an Ariana Grande at that donut shop.
Yeah.
Man, extra quail eggs.
My God.
Caviar on my salad, please.
The price of a quail egg at Sweetgreen puts you in debtor's prison. Oh, my God.
You got to make a down payment on that quail egg.
Yeah. Hey, do you guys take a firm here at Sweetgreen?
What's the APR on this?
Oh, my God.
A firm for Midtown lunch. Now, that's what it's all about right there.
Yeah, let me do a 24-month plan on this salad here.
Do you accept Klarna at Sweetgreen, please?
Klarna
is my favorite one just because it sounds shameful to say.
It like, sounds insane, yeah.
It sounds like something you get like a cream or powder to clear up.
Yeah. Klarna. Sounds like a medication with bad side effects.
That said, if they want a sponsor, we will take all this back. So, we'll officially.
Salad on layaway.
Yeah. Klarna sounds like a goblin that you made a deal with for the money. Like,
yeah. Like, yeah. That is essentially what it is, in my understanding.
Yeah, yeah. You enter. Can I pay for this with Rumpelstiltskin? I would like
it's
to
the
spin.
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today app. That's what it is.
Yeah, the CEO of Klarna, J. Wellington Wimpy, in charge of paying for hamburgers another day. But yeah, so she went in, she got into the coolers, she touched all the food, which ruined it, I guess you can't,
tainted.
Yeah.
They got to give it to her now. Like, you don't want to waste it.
Mm-hmm.
She just gets like, all that food.
Yeah. Like, I get it. There's food safety rules and all that, and it's 2 a.m. She's probably not, her hands aren't spotless. But it's funny to be like, is this like
what is this? Sneaky music?
Sneaky music. Yeah, but it's funny to be like, like her hands probably aren't that clean, especially at that.
That's sneaky music.
Okay. Her hands probably aren't that clean. But to be like,
some place
like,
was on Shadow Moses Island. That's why we're playing sneaky music.
She got into the cooler and released Metal Gear. Yeah, but it's funny to be like, someone touched all the food and it was like, well, you were going to touch it to make it, It's weird to be like, that just
gloved,
touching it wrong.
Gloved.
Yeah. Gloved, probably. But still, it is, I mean, you have to
it
do
is
it.
Like, I know what you mean, though, because it's like, if I were cooking, if I like made you guys dinner, I touched that food. Mm-hmm. I definitely had my hands on that food.
Yeah, yeah.
right.
Oh, you don't throw on disposable gloves to make this food at home? You're not going through boxes of latex gloves every time you...
The health department giving grades to people's home kitchens.
Yeah. Oh, I can't even start cooking without my hairnet. I need some sort of head covering before I do anything.
Yeah. I will say that is like as someone who loves to cook and has long hair, I really get why they have hairnets. Because, there is a not insignificant amount of hair in my food at certain points.
Pat's hair keeps falling in the sauce.
Now, I phrased that wrong. It is an insignificant amount of hair, but it happens.
Get her out.
It happens fairly regularly.
So much hair. Yeah.
Cat's got a damn marinara ombre by the time she's done.
There's a basil
in my
in
soup.
Yeah.
Where is that basil? Oh, here.
Cat's got his hair.
No, I phrased that wrong. It is every once in a while there will be a strand of hair. And I'm like, yeah, this would be horrifying if I didn't know exactly where this came from.
Nope, Cat's hair is covered in marinara. And then at the end of the hair is meatballs like beads from spring break, just hanging on the end.
That's when you go to Italy on spring break. That's what you get.
Yeah.
You get braids that look like little rotinis, and then they're little
meatballs on the end. Yeah. Beautiful. So she was charged with, she was charged with theft by taking, which is a very strange phrase. Like,
a little
that's what
redundant.
Theft is. Yeah. I don't know what.
Theft by taking.
I don't. All I can think of is that it implies like theft of without any
Well, you know, it's not like burglary. There's not like any violence or threat of violence.
Yeah, and also like
it
if
wasn't.
She's
it sounds
the
like
food.
It might not have been breaking and entering. She might have just. Right. Enter. You know, like I don't know if they. You said they might have left it unlocked, right? So
that makes sense. She just like took stuff she wasn't supposed to. She didn't like rob.
Pie on windowsill. That's what that's the classic crime.
That's the defense, right?
Theft by taking.
The pie on windowsill defense. That's what.
Yeah, your defense is a guy who can testify that he saw. Two little beckoning fingers go into your nostrils and pull you floating to the pie.
Yeah, Your Honor, I was carried to the pie. Off, I was completely horizontal above the ground with a blissful look on my face.
In your opinion, sir, could anyone have resisted this pie?
They have the scent.
No, they could not.
They have the scent of the pie on the witness stand to testify. Yeah. Let's do number four.
Let's do number four.
Number four.
Number four comes to us from Bookmark 19 in the Discord. If you would like to submit stories to the Discord, sign up for our Patreon at the $10 a month level. You'll get access to our private Discord channels where you can submit stories and make us read your totally unhinged Discord display names. The story comes to us from Marion, Illinois, which... for the purposes of this story, I do believe is very rural. And this guy, it's another crime. We got another crime on the show. He's been charged with theft. Does not say whether it was by taking or not, but seems like he did take this thing. He stole a backhoe, which I don't think I know what that is. Do you guys know what that is?
It's like...
Shut the fuck up!
Wow. That's aggressive.
Shelby does not want us to find out what a backhoe is.
I feel like it's the, I feel like I have some knowledge of what a backhoe is that is being kind of, like, you know, made worse by the fact that I now have to audibly and, like, describe in words what a backhoe is. But it's the thing that's, does this. Listeners. But
it is like your classic piece of construction.
Yeah, it's like
the one.
Right. It's like when I I feel like when I was a little kid, that was referred to. This is not because I'm 150 years old, but I feel like this was referred to maybe in like books we read or something as a steam shovel. Like that's what I'm picturing.
Yes. Yeah. What's the children's book where there's the steam shovel?
Lot of them, I think.
Forget it. There's one that I read. It's not
Mike
Katie
Mulligan and his
snow.
Steam shovel.
It's Mike Mulligan. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, Katie and the Big Snow is something different. That was a snow plow.
Oh yeah. I read that. I read this too. I remember Mike Mulligan. I remember this. The smiling steam shovel. He was his friend.
Yeah. It's good times.
Anyway, that's probably why. That's
it was
probably
not
why
Mike
I
Mulligan
think
and the backhoe.
Yeah.
Mike but Mulligan not involved.
I'm scooping, you know, for people who can't see, it's a scooped back, I assume that's why they call it back towards the chamber, the workers'
Mike
chamber.
Mulligan, no collusion.
Yeah. Yeah, Mulligan,
total exoneration. Complete.
But yeah, so this guy, he stole a backhoe, but I get why he is being charged. He had a very good reason, in my opinion. He needed to catch a flight. And I guess he was in some kind of madcap situation. I'm imagining a real Planes, Trains, and Automobiles or something.
He was in the movie. He was in Rat Race. It was Mr. Bean situation.
He was in competition with Mr. Bean to get to the locker first. Classic Rat Race situation.
So, very confusing.
I have to get this nun to the airport.
The details here are very confusing. So the guy stole a backhoe. He drove it 10 miles to the airport.
It took 2 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, back if you're in a hurry to catch a flight, speed. Why is this what you're stealing?
Construction equipment famously fast.
Yeah. If a backhoe is in Mario Kart, it's like one star on top speed, acceleration, handling, pretty much across the board. Not a great kind of vehicle. But yeah.
Yeah, so this guy, he drove it to the airport, and he just left it in the parking lot and then walked into the airport lobby, according to this article, carrying a guitar case. No further details.
Yeah.
Don't know.
No further details needed. What do you need explained? Also, I would say, you know, leaving it in the parking lot is probably the best option versus driving it onto the plane.
I guess, carry it on. You're absolutely right. But the idea of just being like, oh, shit, I guess I just have to leave this here. Like,
yeah.
Very obvious evidence of my crime.
I mean, for any vehicle that is a suitable vehicle to take to the airport, leaving it in the parking lot is what it's there for, you know? Leaving a car in a parking lot, some would call that parking, but, you know.
But it's not a car. That's my point. Like, also, the article says that the owner of the backhoe arrived a short time later, presumably because he was also not traveling by backhoe. So he got there very quickly.
He was just walking behind him.
Yeah, that's my backhoe.
He's like, hey, stop, hey.
Dude.
Cut it out.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be like showing up to your job site and being like, guys, we definitely had a backhoe, right? Didn't we have a backhoe here? What? Did we move that? Did someone move it around? Yeah. I mean, I think the winner of this story is the owner of the backhoe, who then gets to, just for fun, scot-free, drive a backhoe 10 miles.
That's true.
Back to the job site on the highway, pissing off. I mean, what are you going to do? Honk at a guy in a backhoe? It's an unhinged person. You just queue up behind.
Yeah, you don't know what they're liable to do.
Yeah. You don't try to pass somebody in a backhoe. You don't get that training. That's not on the driving.
Especially
test.
You see a guy on a backhoe with a guitar case. It's like, what is he prepared for? Yeah. What could possibly be happening here?
It's Bruce Springsteen. That's if you see a guy backhoe with a guitar case, it's probably Bruce Springsteen.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So they don't. Strangely enough, the last person arguably committed a less severe crime named this man was not named in said he is a Carbondale man who arrived at the Veterans Airport of Southern Illinois atop a backhoe.
Carbondale. So, mountain bike ass sounding place. Shit sounds like a mountain bike.
Ironically, I think Carbondale is very flat. So strange that they would name the mountain bike after it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I guess I feel like it's this sort of thing. Like, I get it. So you're trying to catch a flight. And I feel like, at this point, especially with how often they cancel flights, like all the time, it is becoming like airlines are similar to like the U.S. tax system in that they're like, they're so mad and so like, you have to be right on time and all this. And it's like, yeah, but you fuck up constantly, like all the time you fuck up. But if I'm not here, it costs me $500. Like, please just, I've said, just change it to a bus style system. The planes are going where they're going. They fill up, they leave.
Hop in.
Yeah, no tickets necessary. Just pay an entry fee. Climb in or climb out. You know,
climb aboard. Mm-hmm. If you can fit, you're on the plane.
Yeah, that's what
I think you're the first person in history who wants plane travel to be more like the bus. That famously wonderful way to travel.
Just me and the CEO of Ryanair. We're in lockstep on this. Well, I remember, like, I think the only flight I've actually like fully missed in my life was in Las Vegas. And it was like, that was the one where I was like, what are we pretending here? We all have our little reservations for the plane in Las Vegas. I was like, everybody is constantly leaving and arriving in Las Vegas. That's the one where I'm
just
like.
Yeah, they made a whole movie about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot less fun. Well,
yeah.
But I'm like, I'm
arriving in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That's my favorite movie. Yes.
I was like, you know, at least have a couple planes in Vegas that are kind of just like overflow stragglers that are just like, you can every day you could absolutely fill a plane with people who missed their flight from Las Vegas and just pack it up, drop everybody off at their house. Look, just take me home.
But that's actually what I was hearing outside my apartment, was someone getting dropped off at their house from the plane.
It wouldn't hurt to stash just a few extra planes to regular big cities, you know, just keep them there. It's like, you missed it. All right, come on, get on.
Yeah.
It's like every airline should just have an extra one that goes to wherever their hub is, you know, and it just takes the people to there, and then you can catch your transferring flight.
I feel like that's one of the peaks of like dickhead New Yorker that I'll get when you're at an airport and they're like, we don't have any more flights to New York. And I'm like, you don't have any more flights to New York going? Like, the center of trade?
Sorry, not important enough for you?
You do get very, very spoiled here in that way of, you're just like, yes, I live in the center. I live in the main part. the main, the number one place.
Yeah.
Or everything like comes here.
Yeah. And occasionally, like, a band announces they're on tour and they don't go to New York, and you're like, oh, well, well, well.
Exactly.
Too good it's for so Madison shitty. Square Garden. All right. Enjoy Newark.
If you live
Newark.
Anywhere else, I totally get why you hate it. Like, why you hate that we're all like this. But you have to understand, it's because we are served all of these things on a silver platter all the time because we are the place.
And that's also why we pay a crazy amount of money is so and that everybody
absurd yeah
you pay a crazy amount of money to make sure that every fucking band comes here, so don't skip New York on your fucking tour. And Newark is not New York. It's hard to get to. I'm not taking
I'll allow Jersey
concert.
City at furthest. You can go to Jersey City.
This is real New York. This is real New York shit. Complaining about the PATH train. Yeah, there we go. But I don't know. I get it. The guitar, I mean, I think this guy is probably the whole plane would have been better off not having whoever this guy is on it.
I feel like he's a Coen Brothers character. Like, this is Llewellyn Davis or something. That's who this is.
He had a cat with him. It was all very
quirky. I would love to know where he was going, you know?
Yeah, right?
Because, like, I'd imagine this is a very small airport. So he's probably just flying to Chicago or something. It's like, drive the backhoe all the way there.
Yeah. You know? Why is this story shorter than the salad lady? Where that lady has clear, we can all understand her purpose and intent there. And suddenly you think the fucking backhoe guitar man only qualifies for four short paragraphs? It's like, you know, get an oral history on this guy. I want to hear his motivations, everything about him.
I gotta know. I wonder, is a backhoe just like easier to steal than a car? Probably.
Does it not have keys?
I don't know. You might leave the keys. I mean, yeah, it's a thing where it's like, you don't really, no windows. Like, you can climb right in.
Who's going to take this?
Yeah.
They're going to be in over their head immediately if they try to take this.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, they're going to excavate more for you. I don't know. But, yeah. I don't know. Maybe that was it. He just saw the glint of a key in the ignition. He was like, we're doing
that
it.
That was my time.
Going in. Yeah. But good number three. Should we excavate the next number?
Let's excavate number three.
Number three.
We've backhoed the next number. Number three comes to us from my bussy and me in the Discord. And this is a story from the Washington Post. This has been sort of a position for a long time, but we're trying to re-up it here. The CDC has issued another statement basically begging people to stop eating raw cookie dough after a salmonella outbreak, which has sickened at least 18 people across six states. But the response of the general public to this,
they're just disgusted by it. It sickens them.
Yeah.
They're just like, how dare you?
The
response, how dare you eat raw cookie dough?
The response to this this request, I assume, will continue to be no.
Yeah, I
don't think so.
The Republic has responded by saying, if I die, I die.
Raw cookie dough is worth it.
Yeah.
If I go out this way, it's meant to be. Yeah, I feel like working for the CDC in this particular capacity, I mean, with COVID, everything, in many other capacities as well. But the people who have to be like, please, God, stop eating raw cookie dough, has to be one of the most frustrating jobs in history. Like,
if it's so bad, why do they sell it to me at the movie theater? Answer that, CDC. Why is it? Yeah.
Movie theater snacks, famously not bad for you.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
good barometer.
It's a very like being the CDC is very like the dude from SimCity. Like, you can't cut back on funding. You'll regret this. You can't eat raw cookie dough. You'll regret this. And then everyone just clicks OK and just ignores it.
No, one big building, our entire budget.
Noted. Yeah. X-ing out of this dialogue box.
Yeah, your objection is noted. You're on record.
Yeah. Oh, it's the roller coaster police here to stop my tycooning. Well, I've got news for you, brother. You might say,
no one stops my tycooning. That's the whole point of being a tycoon. You're like, regulation? Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
You're not a builder, you're a tycoon.
They're insisting my new roller coaster that just ends above a lake is dangerous, yet people keep riding it. So,
I say, maybe they like throwing up. Have you ever considered that?
Yeah. Maybe they like throwing up my really expensive, very salty pretzels.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Also, this is an all-time headline. Great job to the author of this article, especially because it's in the Washington Post and not like, you know, this isn't like whatever it is. Just the full title is "The CDC Wants People to Stop Eating Raw Cookie Dough, But It's So Tasty." That's in the headline.
Counterpoint. No.
Yeah.
Even the objective article writer is like, in fairness.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Tonight on Crossfire.
Yeah, right.
I mean, this is really going back to the credo of our podcast, which is that it is worth it to get diarrhea sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and counterpoint salmonella. To the CDC. What do you say to that?
That's sometimes weapons grade diarrhea, salmonella. That's
yeah, salmonella is a problem, but
yeah, I mean,
it was really rare for eggs to actually give you salmonella now. Like,
I mean, with all they do to them, yeah. And cook them up and do all that stuff. I don't know, but it's hard. I mean, you kind of know what they're up against here, where they're like, just every time in this article that they describe eating cookie dough, it makes me want to eat cookie dough so bad. They're like biting straight into a store-bought roll of cookie dough. And I was like, oh, man.
I could do that later. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It does feel like
I mustn't.
It's such a like a treat. It really is.
It's a forbidden
raw cookie dough, an all-time kind of finger, you know, waggler,
finger treat. Wiggling napkin in your neck.
Mother said I'm not allowed.
But mother's not here.
She's left the bowl unattended.
It does feel like they should check your ID if you buy it at the grocery store. Like it, yeah. It feels a little like it's Sudafed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She won't be missing one single clump. One less cookie for the boys. That's all right.
I mean, Whitney has tried the stuff that's supposed to be safe, and it's not good. She says,
screw that. Stuff you buy at the store that's like, yeah. eat it out of the jar.
So she So she is violating CDC's directives here. Yeah.
I will say, even as we say, we all love cookie dough. They opened up for briefly a like store in like Chelsea that sold cookie dough scoops like ice cream, and that was deranged. I was like, you can't just say that. I was like, you can't just do this. You have to. It has to be a little bit
forbidden and secret. Yeah. It is. Yeah, it just feels too decadent to just be out in the open. Asking another human being for a scoop of cookie dough.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely not.
But when you
that
make
is
some
something you
dough.
Wrestle with internally and then do, not something you ask another person to be involved with.
Yeah. But when you got cookie dough and you're placing those lumps on a sheet, you know, spaced apart to allow for them to grow, and you realize that you filled up the sheet and there's a little bit left. a little margin for the chef. Mother's not around.
Yeah. What are life's pleasures? I feel like there are a couple other weird CDC things. Like, I feel like, isn't the CDC like no sushi? Like, there is no, it's never safe. Unsafe at any speed, sushi.
Yeah, I mean, they're big time like nerds about everything.
Yeah,
we talked
they're just
about
like real
nets.
Cops about things that taste good.
I think they just have to advise you of the risks, and that's that, you know, and that's fair. And in response, you have people in the comments of this Washington Post thing
who are like, "I'm going to kill the CDC."
Right, or, right.
They're
there
yelling
is that.
About how Fauci doesn't want them to eat cookie dough.
Right, this is Fauci. it says, "Let's see, I'm 61." I have had irritable bowel syndrome, cow milk protein allergy, and a compromised immune system my entire life. Living longer is not worth not enjoying life. Party hardy, man.
That is so intense. I have been sick my whole life. I'm still eating that cookie dough.
My shit is a mess.
I'm 61. I've been ruining my toilet every day of my life, and I will never stop. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of this. Yeah. I'll take my chances. If I die, I die. Pretty good.
Yeah, Oh, here we go. I'm liking this guy in the comment. An all-time definitely not fake username, RocketScientist73. You know, nice. When you're a rocket scientist, you're like, what's my username? RocketScientist73.
You know when you're a rocket scientist and you're commenting on articles about eating raw cookie dough in your spare time?
Also, there's this guy who's like, wouldn't it be great if we had real food safety standards and regulators who made sure they were followed, like they do in Japan?
It's like, shut the fuck up!
Also, it's like, dude, what are you talking about? Real food safety? It's cookie. You're not supposed to eat raw eggs. We all know this, but, you know. You
gotta... Also, of course, bringing Japan into it. Like,
yeah.
Well, Japan is better at everything.
If you watch Naruto, you'll see that it eats cookie dough all the time. And he's a powerful ninja. Yeah, they're you know, what are you going to do? The CDC should kind of drop it. This is just a non-starter. This is a fight you can't win. This is, you know, what are you supposed to... They have these things
where... It's an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm. They have the thing where it's like, you can make it safer by using heat-treated flour and, you know, like it's...
What?
What?
The flour is the problem?
It's like, first of all, what are you talking about? Second of all, that sounds terrible. No, I want it to be gross and forbidden. That's part of it. I wonder how good cookie dough would be if we were just allowed to eat it. I feel like it's 25%.
I mean, it would still be good, but it would. I would want it less. I would eat it less for sure.
Yeah. But you know, sometimes you gotta get salmonella. Sometimes, salmonella is worth it. That's our new. Our new
sometimes salmon. I don't know about that. I mean.
No, yeah, that's like when I got back from Mexico, I was like super sick, and I was consulting Eli about it as you know, the expert on having tummy problems.
Yeah,
and he was just like, and like to be fair, I didn't like follow up with you, but you were like, yeah, it's probably fine, like you'll get better. And then I finally got like talked to a doctor, and they were like, if this doesn't get better in a day, you have to go to the ER, and here are 2 different antibiotics that you have to take 3 times a day because like you are very sick.
To be clear, you talked to me like the day after you got back from Mexico.
I did not
realize that it had continued.
What? Worth it. Absolutely worth it. Totally fine.
If you got tummy trouble,
eat some street meat, you know?
You got tummy trouble. I'm your guy. I know all the things. I just tell you not to eat the things that make my tummy hurt. And that's my
You were a good consultant. You were a good consultant.
Yeah, well, the one time you were like, my stomach's hurt, like upset, and you were drinking like a huge cold brew, I think. And I was like, well, that is going to destroy your shit.
Yeah, you were the one who alerted me to the fact that I was actually accidentally drinking double strength cold brew without realizing it. And I was And I was drinking it like it was regular coffee. And then I was feeling terrible and I was talking about it. And you were like, wait, you buy the Stumptown kind? And that's what... That's like fucking motor oil. No wonder.
It didn't clear you out when it dripped out. It came out like a, you know, like an elixir.
It was regular. That fucked my shit up for a while. I've recovered. I've since recovered. Anyway, eat the raw cookie dough. It's fine. If you get sick, please don't yell at us, though.
Yeah, that's not legal cookie advice, but you can eat it. It's fine.
Folks, if you're enjoying this episode, you may also enjoy our bonus episode up on our Patreon. Every week, we have a new bonus episode for you, patreon.com/oneatimepod. This week, I have some questions for Patty and Eli about menswear. What's a cummerbund? Find out!
And we talk about the newly approved for human trials Neuralink and why we're all getting them put in.
Finally, we do a very shallow dive into the Chicagoverse for reasons that I can't remember.
Check it out.
Number 2.
This comes to us again from Vanderstoff Pump Zoo. This is a story about, just some would say an abuse of power. Others would say the reason to have power in the first place, altogether. This is a story about an official in a place in India that I'm going to say Chhattisgarh. It's got an extra H in there and it's feeling very Welsh in its spelling to me and confusing, but, let's say Chhattisgarh, and he was an official there who dropped his phone into a reservoir and then just drained the reservoir in his capacity as a city official to get his phone back, which is not allowed. You can't just be draining reservoirs. At the same time, I'm like, your phone is already broken. It's been sitting in a reservoir. So I don't know if it's really, you know, a complete solution to this thing. But yeah, he's in a bit of trouble for what they're calling abuse of power here.
What they're calling abuse of power. Yeah. Allegedly. The interesting thing to me here that I think really speaks to how this guy shouldn't have power is not so much the draining of the reservoir. It's the clear lack of efficient problem-solving skills. Like, if you're going to be corrupt, use your corruption to get another phone, not drain a reservoir.
Yeah.
Something that, like, it's like, how can I fix this problem while adversely affecting the maximum number of other people? Let's do that.
Yeah, it's... The thing is strange. It's like, there has to be something on this specific phone because of his... Not only is he eventually drains the reservoir, he says...
he didn't drain the whole thing, right? He just, like, a couple feet. Still very bad.
The phone's got to be at the bottom. I mean, he drained...
But it's probably not at the bottom of, like, the deepest point, you know? So, like, he drained it a little bit.
Possible, yeah.
Drop my phone in the Indian Ocean.
Got to drain the Caspian Sea to retrieve my phone. And then he says, this whole thing is like, he says, so first they said some village, I don't know if this is a translation error or what, he said, some villagers who know swimming dove in to find my phone. And they, so he said they looked for it for 2 days, which is like, dude, get a new,
get a new phone
in less than 2 days. It's gone. There's not enough rice in the world.
There
to
must
save
be sensitive. There must be sensitive stuff on it, right? What else could it be? I mean, like,
But it's like, it takes care of the problem. There's no way it's working after 2 days.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta find it just to put it in the microwave and fry it. Well, you like the fucking, you know, the location of Jason Bourne on this thing. It's just leave it, dude. So yeah. And he does say this. So they like look for it for 2 days and then failed to locate it. And he does say at one point, I said the phone would be damaged by now. And it also sounds like they maybe weren't totally against him draining the reservoir. He has an incredible relationship with his constituents. I will say that they're looking for his phone for 2 days, and they're like,
the town
drain the reservoir,
mobilized,
man. Yeah,
to find his phone.
Dude, if you want to drain the reservoir, that's fine. It's okay. We'll fill up a couple bowls of water, and we'll be cool. He said that he bought it 2 months ago, which, you know, relatable. You don't want, it's a new phone. Bad one to drop into a reservoir. I'm trying to, so it's a 10-foot deep reservoir and he drained 3 feet of water from it.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. It's significant. Also, he had to hire a diesel pump to drain it. And again, I feel like we are far eclipsing both the cost and the time invested to just get a new fucking phone. Like, you know,
right. So, set up a GoFundMe if you need to, but like, figure this out.
Yeah. Like,
don't need to be draining a reservoir for it.
Yeah. It'll take a minute to back up from Wi-Fi, but it'll be fine. Your phone will be fine, dude. It's just, nothing even exists on them anymore. It's all on the internet. Just get
a new
phone.
It's all in the cloud, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, there must be something on here that he really needs. Maybe it's some compromising nudes or something. He's like,
I have Flappy Bird on that phone. They don't have, it's not in the App Store anymore.
It's not. Yeah. It's grandfathered in. If I lose Flappy Bird here, I never
can't
have
you
Flappy
sell
Bird
those?
Again.
Can't you sell like iPads with Flappy Bird on them for like egregious amounts of money on eBay?
I don't know how that would work. They'd be logged into your Apple ID and stuff, right? Wouldn't that doesn't seem like it would work.
Yeah. I don't know. But, you know,
if you had the foresight to make a dummy Apple ID account like that, you have no connection to, I guess, and then just set it up that way. I suppose so. But that seems unlikely.
That would be like beyond insider trading, anything like that. Like if someone actually made a bunch of fake Apple IDs and downloaded Flappy Bird onto a ton of iPads, I would be like, you are a time traveler. Like this, that would be the most I've ever thought someone is clearly has futures vision. Like, it's like, look, you can explain away a lot of stock market
and
shit.
Why are you using it for this? Right. Why is this how you're using it?
This is the easiest way to make money.
Number one, Flappy Bird on iPads. Number two,
what is the future
if I have
like
time,
if this
kill
is
Hitler.
The currency. Yeah. Wild stuff.
Yeah. But he has been suspended. You know. Yeah, how did it get here? That's just one of those things where you gotta be like, how did no one say no at any point during this? Also he's been suspended before. This man is a bit of a troublemaker. He was suspended in 2021 for alleged misconduct in distribution of rice.
I did a whole lie, cheat, and steal episode about
the distribution of rice.
An Indian con man who a lot of his schemes involved like promising people amounts of rice and then not delivering. So this is apparently a very common. There's a lot of rice fraud going on in India.
I gotta say, in terms of like physical space and weight versus value, rice a bad thing to embezzle. It's just you gotta have a fucking lot of it for it to be worth anything.
Well, he would forge like shipping forms and stuff. So there was like no rice
to
begin with.
What he was probably planning on doing if he didn't get caught was embezzling more rice to put the phone in. You see that?
Yeah.
Right. These are related. He was like, "Well, I have all this rice I'm trying to unload. I have this wet phone."
He distributed a couple tons of rice into another empty reservoir and then dropped his phone in there.
That's how they lowered the reservoir. They just dumped a bunch of rice in it.
Yeah. They just made big rice.
They made rice pudding in the
reservoir. Yeah. Yeah. Man. I'd love to do that. Not enough. A thing from children's books that I wish was more prevalent in adult life is people making a huge food for the town.
It's true.
Yeah, I would love to stir a big food, but not that common in real life. Okay. Number one.
I was really craving a cauldron.
I'm hungry for a cauldron. A cauldron of cookie dough. Striganona said I mustn't.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
Number one this week comes to us from Discount Yodeler in the Discord. I saw the story this week and I was very excited about it. So lighthouses, classic. We know them. We love them.
Lighthouses.
A very old solution to a very old problem. Like they've been the way we've done that forever, you know? Mm. Set up a big light, a big foil thing to reflect so people know where a rocky outcropping is.
Yeah.
But now,
hate to stumble upon a rocky outcropping.
Yeah. it can be pretty bad. But now, thanks to GPS, lighthouses kind of obsolete. Not something we really need anymore.
Hark! They don't do it. Triton! Hark!
Exactly. I guess, you know, my question is, if we don't need them anymore, where are two stoic, taciturn New Englanders supposed to lose their minds together, you know?
Hark!
Now that there's no
Hark!
Lighthouses.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
But yeah, so apparently, first of all, I just noticed this article is paywalled, so I have the first paragraph of it. But yeah, lighthouses, we don't need them anymore. They're all of these like beautiful old lighthouses that are basically no longer functioning. And the U.S. government owns most of them and they're giving them away. So some of them are being auctioned. Apparently some are just any takers. So if you're yearning to be like the weirdest person in a small town.
I'm not against it. I think I could settle in there, you know. Probably one nice thing about lighthouse, you probably get great cell reception up top there. If you set up your bedroom up there, four or five bars constantly.
It would be a good place for a bedroom because you'd have 360 windows. You know? It'd be pretty neat.
Yeah, I'd take out the lamp and turn that into like a weird loft. I'd just be up there,
Turn it into a conversation pit.
One of those 70s. Just get the lamp replaced with pure velvet all around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Conversation pits are so cool. That's such a that's so awesome. Cool, man.
They're nice. I love to step down into a, you know, just never be able to leave because it involves trying to get out of a chair that is also a pit. Just live there for the rest of my life. Yeah.
My God. Yeah, apparently they've transferred like 150 lighthouses into this program to sell, auction, or give them away. And so some of them are like for no cost. So
yeah
a lot of them are in Massachusetts. I mean, I would take this Nobsco Lighthouse in Falmouth, Massachusetts. That sounds great.
Yeah.
That sounds lovely. You know?
I think, like, I don't know if I kind of completely agree with this thing. They're like, well, we have GPS now, so it's fine. I was like, leave them up. Leave them on.
Why not?
Just leave them on. It's
not,
you know,
everybody has a smartphone. Sometimes you don't get good reception, you know?
Yeah, you know, Waze.
We didn't get rid of them with radar. Why are we getting rid of them now?
Look, Waze is telling you to go down tiny alleys and probably taking you across some rocky outcroppings once in a while. Just leave the fucking lighthouse on. It's fine.
I saw the new Fast and the Furious movie last night, and I just kept thinking about how funny it would be if there were just Waze like announcements during Fast and the Furious.
Recalculating.
I want to see the Waze cut. Yeah,
just a minute. Yeah, recalculating. Recalculating.
Accelerate through that. Window of tower into lower floor of tower across courtyard.
Yeah. There's a
hook
big
cable to
Rome.
Front bumper and swing across canyon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alert.
There's a good big chase scene in Rome and they like go down the Spanish steps and I would just love them being like, road closed. Road closed.
You're gonna get fined for that.
Yeah,
seek
I'm surprised
alternate
that's
route.
Not a gag in that movie at this point. Just, you know, they steal a car right. or whatever, and there's a ways open.
Well, then they they go down the Spanish Steps, and then the Carabinieri and the Lamborghini start chasing them. Right, I feel like that's a slam dunk.
They are
right
chased
there.
By many Carabinieri in Lamborghini. Yeah,
the fun like most of the cities I've been in Italy. A Lamborghini would be the worst car to possibly own because the streets are wildly uneven. Like
undercarriage is just ripped out instantly.
Yeah. It was like, congratulations on your new Lamborghini here in Florence, Italy. It is going to stay where we put it for the rest of your life because it's balanced on an uneven cobblestone.
Real hoggity, hoggity, hoggity hours. Just... a bumpy ride, you know?
Hoggity, hoggity, hoggity. Okay.
Yeah, what is that from? I was
just, you've never heard that? Like when you're like, hoggity, hoggity,
I can
hoggity,
tell you
like,
I haven't.
It's like a cartoon noise. It's
How is it hoggity? Like hoggity?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hoggity, hoggity, hoggity.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I guess that's I guess that's an onomatopoeia. Yeah, I wouldn't have really thought it was one, but I guess it is. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I can see.
Are you
like
familiar with hoggity
engine?
Hoggity hoggity? Sound off in the comments.
Yeah,
hoggity hoggity.
You turn the car of a
send
you
Kathy
of a car that won't start. Hoggity hoggity hoggity. Yeah. All right, I see
it's
it.
It's the bumpy road onomatopoeia, in my opinion.
Yeah,
hoggity hoggity hoggity.
We could take a bumpy road down to one of these lighthouses. So are they really just free? I'm genuinely tempted by this. They're just free.
I think they're like they said they're like at cost. So
oh, okay. Well, that's pretty.
But
high
I don't know.
Cost.
It says being given away at no cost. So I don't know what that means. I mean, there's probably you probably have to enter into some agreement of like upkeep or something. I don't think you can just get it. And then...
It just like starts to look like shit. All right, man. It's like, hey, this is my place.
Dibs. It says offered at no cost to federal, state, or local government agencies, nonprofits, educational organizations, or other entities that are willing to maintain and preserve them.
What about What a Time to Be Alive LLC, perhaps?
Oh, yes.
Is that an organization that may...
Do we have a limited liability company for you?
We just start recording at the top of a lighthouse. That's our new...
That would be fucking sick. It would be
great.
In
a conversation pit. I think it would really help our podcast.
We could give useless weather reports from a day ago. Like, here's what the weather was yesterday.
You can really hear that they're in a lighthouse.
We kind of already do that, in fairness.
Yeah.
We love to give a day-old weather report on this podcast.
It would be, it would be great to have a podcast where there's just constantly the soft sound of seagulls in the background.
Yeah.
And then someone's listening, they're like, are those, what's the seagull sound thing? And it's like, they record the top of a lighthouse. They record it on a rocky outcropping and... Falmouth, Massachusetts. So soothing, I think.
Podcast ends when a barge crashes into us.
Every episode GPS ends with a barge.
You forgot crashing. To turn it on.
Yeah, we turn the light off to record because it makes a buzz. So then a ship crashes into the Rocky.
Have you guys seen that movie? That movie rocks.
It's the black and white one, right?
Hark! Somebody,
yeah.
Triton,
somebody it's jerks awesome. Off in it, right? That's all I know about. It's black and white. Somebody
jerks
off
in
it.
There's like, I feel like I would have seen it years earlier if people had told me how funny it was. Like, it's definitely dark and disturbing and weird, but it's also so funny. Yeah. There's so many farts in it. It's really great. I really, really enjoy that movie.
It's great. I do Man. Enjoy a good fart, so maybe I'll check it out.
If you want to hear Willem Dafoe farting up a storm, do I have a movie for you?
You know those are real. You know those aren't added in later. My man's
Method
ripping
acting.
Them. Yeah.
Method farting. Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually studied for years for that role.
Yeah, just... Yeah. Talk about things that would annoy the rest of the cast and crew if you're method about that. It's like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just doing those farts that make a dog throw up. Well, thank you guys so much for leave a yeah, vivid man. Sense memory, you know, right?
If anybody listening gets one of these lighthouses, give us a tour.
Let us in.
Let us in.
Yeah.
Once we're in, we can come as go as we please. Just FYI.
Yeah. If any listeners got one of these lighthouses, we're downstairs. Let us come up and see the big light.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we do plugs?
We should. Become a subscriber at patreon.com/whatatimepod for weekly bonus episodes and much more. And head to whatatimepod.com/links for our merch store, Discord, and more. Follow Patty, Kath, and Eli on Twitter and Instagram at Patty Moe, at Kath Barbadoro, and at Eli Uden. And check out Kath's other podcasts, Lie, Cheat, and Steal, about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters, wherever you get your podcasts. Here's where you can see us doing stand-up this week.
Come to paid protest on June 1st. Eli will be there. I'll be out of town, but go see Eli.
Yeah. And
raise
come there.
Cause.
Congratulate Kath for figuring out that it's on June 1st and not June 2nd.
Thank you. After
a 2 week period, I was ready to catch it. But yeah, June 1st at Silo in Bushwick, right?
That's right. 90 Scott Ave in Bushwick.
It's taking place at the Apple TV Plus series Silo. That is where the paid protest. It'll be an episode of the show Silo. Rebecca Ferguson is hosting. It'll be great.
Yeah, come to the show on the back.
Everyone will be engulfed in flowing grain. So check it out.
Just walk straight through the picket line and come to the show in the back. It'll be good. But yeah, it should be fun.
Anything else?
I think
that's all the plugs.
Liza graduated from Puppy One class today. That is my plug. Congratulations to Liza.
Congratulations to Liza.
Congrats to Liza. We'll see you next week, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.